discussing Aboriginal rights and what anybody might have a comment about what they think about Aboriginal rights and that as a basis for saying.
He thought may have something to do with his Jesuit upbringing and schooling, because from their point of view, he seems to be just, so therefore it has been a complete change of heart by the Prime Minister. That either they either didn't exist or they all of a sudden they did exist. So it's more and more a historical oddity, I suppose.
Right.
We haven't had any of this position.
Right, yeah, I got the feeling that through the talks to make that there was a general change in philosophy around 1770, when they started, you know, before the problems were looked at upon in a different light, and the concept of self-determination, these started really confused.
It's very important for all people, not only the native people, but the white people, that the native community or the native people do get self-determination. Because I can only speak as a woman, I feel that I really don't have self-determination. I really can't control my own life. And it's important for us to support the native people.
Are you comparing the plight of Native people with
you? I'm not comparing women's problems with Native people problems. What I'm saying, it's important for one group of people, which is the Native people, to get self-determination, and it'll lead the way for other people to get more benefits to get some of the rights that we deserve, like as women and as working people, or men have certain rights too.
Right.
So it's all tied in. You know, the white community isn't isolated, or the native people aren't really isolated from the rest of the Yukon or anywhere. The native people they're not isolated from the white people
I'm saying that
the native struggle can't be seen in isolation. That white people have a lot to gain from what the native people get. So many white people are afraid the natives are going to get something for nothing. They're going to take something from us. Our taxes are going to support the natives, which all these things aren't really true. We're not going to lose anything. In fact, in the long run, we'll probably gain.
What are the things that you were thinking of in terms of gain?
Well, you're getting me going on that.
Go ahead.
I feel that as a woman and as a working person, I have a few rights. Well, I don't have every right that I should have. The right to strike. I don't belong to a union. I don't feel abortion is very easy to get for women. I really don't have a choice. If I want one, I have to wait till some doctor to say, well, yes, I guess you can have one. Poor people, you know, there's welfare, they're looked down upon. Unemployment, it's difficult to get a job.
How do you see self-determination as the Native people? Do you see that as this choice?
That they have a right to it, yes.
As a right to that choice?
Oh, definitely. Oh, yeah.
And certain protection, like, basically now that there is a choice, like, maybe 50 or 100 years from now, that choice won't be there, so you can go and build an administrative thing. Is that the kind of things protecting their rights through those choices?
Oh, I don't know exactly what you're asking. Yes, I agree that the Native people should have a right.
Right.
You see, what it is, we have to be able to control the present and the future. We don't know what the future is going to be, but hopefully through some of the rights that we get now or that we have now can shape the future a little. And that our environment won't be gone, and there will be animals left, and there will be a north, and you know, there will be some area that there aren't people.
I just wanted to say something about Aboriginal rights. They've been historically viewed from the British legal system, like it's been historically viewed from a white point of view. The legal precedent for a land claim has been based totally on a system which is alien to the people who are making the claim. And because of the concept of self-determination, I think the principle of, or the fact that the claim is occurring now makes it more fair to the people that are making the claim, because now it allows them to choose their own way, whereas before the historical basis has always been according to a British legal system, which not very many of us understand anyway. And from what little I understand of Indian history and tradition and culture, has no relationship, direct relationship anyway, to the British legal system.
But I think the earlier in the discussion you explained that the legal right was based in the English legal system, and that the right was from a royal proclamation in 1693. I can't remember the date.
Mm-hmm.
That was what the basic legal right was for that.
Yes, but still, it's being made by someone who doesn't. I mean. The negotiation for the claim is all being made on one side at that point, because the British are operating with the upper hand because they understand the system, whereas whoever happens to be making the claim, it's a totally foreign system.
Yeah, but the government, the present government, to me, has very little moral sense or very little moral value, so you have to fight on their grounds and using the rules that they made. You can say, look, you made that Magna Carta. We didn't, or the Native people didn't. And, the government has made all the treaties.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to use their treaties. Otherwise, well, they can't back down from their treaties. Whereas they can deny Native government or Native rule. You have to sort of use their weapons. Because to me, the government, you know, has no morals. The fact that Natives have been fighting for so many hundreds of years shows that the government don't care about the Natives.
No, and I'm not disagreeing with that. All I'm saying is that they have a strike against them to start out with, because they have to be on the system.
Oh, yeah. But then it's there.
They're using our system.
Yeah, right. Then if we didn't have our system, there wouldn't be any need for the Native people to, you know, they wouldn't be in the situation they're in, having to fight for their rights. Oh, it's right.
Something I'm really curious to know is whether or not, well, I, you know, maybe it's just me and I believe that, but like I have a feeling that self-determination makes it better for the claim because it allows the new people to do what they want. But what I'm curious is if the new people see it that way. If that right to self-determination makes it that much better or if they'd rather, you know.
Why don't you put that question to Dave?
Yes, I was going to go back.
I'd like to ask the question just to sort of hurt her life. Do you see this going on indefinitely? You were going to say we'll use one as a springboard for women's rights.
Oh, for the next few.
Do you see the one that's normally used in the Western Canada, the Ukrainians using this argument, the people of Lourdes or the people
of yes.
Quebec? So this is just the beginning.
Sure, because there's so many people that are discriminated against. There's just so many, many problems. You know, as working people, we're comfortable. We don't know what it's like to be poor, or to be black, or to be native, and you know, or to be Ukrainian. I don't know what it's like to be Ukrainian. I know they're discriminated against in the West, and the Polish. And sure, I see it going on for a long time.
Do you see then, no, I haven't seen it in California, where you get to the stage of saying then there'll be reverse discrimination. See the whole thing coming back in a circle again? And is there a peak in this argument here?
I don't know. I don't agree with the Bakke decision. I agree that we do need special help. Like, minorities need a little bit of extra leeway.
Who needs special help?
Well, like women and like in California, it's women and Chicanos and blacks that are being allowed, getting
a
quota system, that's right.
I don't know whether you can throw away all the. I don't know whether you can really throw the problems of women in with the rest, because you compared, or at least you equated with the choice that the Indian people have between industrial society and traditional lifestyle. And what is the traditional lifestyle of women?
I'm not comparing it.
Traditionally, women have always played the role that they are still playing, which they're trying to get out of.
I'm not comparing it at all.
So
I'm not trying to say that women.
Situation.
But it's the fact that women are discriminated against, and Native people are. Men are discriminated against also. Not only, I'm just saying that.
Just from that standpoint.
Yeah, well, like that gentleman said, it's a springboard. And maybe if one problem is solved, maybe some more problems can be solved. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying who's worse off or who has more problems or who's more discriminated against, because we can't say that.
In a way, this is kind of a test of the principle of self-determination. Is that so? Is it a test of the principle of self-determination to see, you know, if it will work? I think most of us at one time thought that we don't really have any control over what it is we're doing. It's a very hard thing to define in any concrete sense.
Do you think it's democratic, the Native rights or the Native land claims? And I'm not just asking anybody.
Because
democracy is the majority rules, and you know, I'm curious to see how people think of that.
Is that democracy?
You
mean the self-determination?
The fact that Native people want to rule themselves and really don't want to be governed by the Canadian government, but stay within the bounds of Canada, which is essentially what Dave Joe said.
As long as you don't confuse self-determination and autonomy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a big difference. As long as
democracy wins. Well, that's well put.
Did anyone have any particular reactions to?
I was interested in what you just said, and Is that what you are wondering about? Is that what is at the basis of your thinking, that perhaps you are wondering and maybe even worried about that self-determination may end up into autonomy, which will be again a form of suppression in reverse?
Not so much, worried about what may happen, but I'm worried about the interpretation that some people will have of self-development or self-determination.
Mm-hmm.
If they feel that is the same as autonomy.
And that is a concern.
Real part.
That's a concern.
Very much what Quebec is fighting about.
Pardon?
It's very much what's happening in Quebec, and talking about self-determination on a much larger scale, because there's so many diverse groups. But it's all.
Of course, one can question, how far should self-determination go? Can it go so far that it will be detrimental to a perhaps more important unit, an umbrella unit?
I don't view things from the top, that the unit's important. It's the individuals that make up the unit.
Yes, but if you have a larger unit, you can almost get into federalism now, right off the bat when you mentioned Quebec.
Mm-hmm.
What is more important, the unit, the federation, or the locale, the subgroup?
Well, the locale, the individuals.
Where do you coincide the two so that nobody suffers?
Well, you have to start the basis that the individual has rights, and then you base everything on the rights of the individuals and the well-being of individuals.
But they have to agree to that in the first place, and that may be the problem.
Well, I agree.
There's one question following that. Is this claim one to individual rights or to group rights? That is, or is that distinction even useful?
I think it's to individual rights, but the Native people are banding together as a group, and the group, there's more people. If each person went and demanded land rights, would be pretty sporadic. But as a group, there's money, there's leadership, there's all sorts of input into the group. It's very important that there isn't a leadership that develops within the Native people that become very bureaucratic and start ruling the Natives. You see, that's why it's very important for the individuals to realize their rights and demand the rights.
But individual well-being takes also a lot of cooperation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's why the larger units come in again.
Well, it boils down to why we're like we are.
Yes, that's what it boils down to, indeed. Mm-hmm. That's what we have to sort out.
So it's the educational system. It's how our parents bring us up, and what they know, and what we get at school, and what we get at TV, and our peers, and where we work, and our whole idea of our whole philosophical, our whole economic ideas, our cultural ideas have to sort of grow a little, and they have to change. We can't be afraid of change, and I think we are. We're afraid of. I'm saying we, in general, we're afraid to let Quebec go. This because people don't know what's going to happen. They can't be any worse off.
Isn't it even more fundamental than that, though? Isn't it that we're afraid to let Quebec decide whether they want to go? I think that's even more fundamental a question.
Sure. Yeah, it's hard to make, it's hard to make a decision when you don't know what's going to happen. See, people don't have any faith in the economic system. Why do we save money? Because tomorrow we might be unemployed. You have to have that. Why do we buy houses now? Because, the cost is going to go up so much in the future. We're so afraid of making money. Where we're going to be without money.
Self-determination is something that almost anyone can agree with. there's a bigger question here. There's a cultural identity. And that's also part of self-determination for the Indian people.
I talk too much, so Ted knows me.
Did anyone find it peculiar that the second gentleman had to refer to the third world of the underdeveloped countries by saying they could do it?
By saying what?
By saying if certain rules apply to the underdeveloped world, that it should be applied to you. Do you see a certain irony in a fairly industrial country like Canada having to say make references to Africa or South America, or having to refer to the Indonesian government by saying we've got to search around all the fishing to find and wheeling a law or a rule or something that's gone on to put the Yukon things.
It's funny that we're called advanced countries, and are we so advanced in our philosophical thinking? Maybe economically, we've got more money.
I think there still is a pretty big difference. What you mentioned between third world countries.
At great risk, interrupt to say 2 minutes to sum up this time.
Oh, heavens, we've just got started.
We're not going back.
That's okay.
It's not very long.
You get in on cue.
But we have to, nobody is isolated from the whole world. The native people aren't isolated from Canada. Boundaries essentially don't make that much difference. And probably in the future, as we can see now, boundaries change so easily. Well, maybe war isn't easy, but they change very quickly. And we're not isolated. We're not isolated from the natives or from South America or from the United States. We're all fighting for the same thing in different degrees.
What I was going to say is that in comparison, talking about third world countries, I think it does apply a bit in a way. But in a third world country, it is still the people who belong to that country in their own country. And of course, here we have traditional lifestyle. The traditional lifestyle in Canada, the original traditional lifestyle, it was only engaged in by the Indian people at one time, being the original people. There's no getting away from that. So whatever anybody else thinks who came here afterwards, whether you came 20 years ago or 150 or whatever years ago, can that be compared on the same basis? And that is really what's being dealt with here, I think, and therefore you cannot quite compare that with third world countries. I think it's a totally different thing.
When you speak of their Aboriginal rights, would you really let the native people say, well, really, we're entitled to all of the Yukon? Aren't they?
Certainly.
So if everybody's entitled to their individual rights, certainly there's a problem there. The white people aren't just going to say, okay, go to it.
Yeah, well, that's why they're negotiating. Mm-hmm. Maybe they can demand all Canada.
Everybody's entitled to their rights. So.
Yeah, right. I agree. It's got to be organized. You see, and the native people don't need the whole of Yukon. I don't know how many native people there are, but they couldn't possibly utilize or live in or take up all the space in the Yukon.
Yes, I realize that.
Yeah.
But when you say the government doesn't care,
I know what you mean, that everybody, okay, me as
how
an individual...
They just come in and say, okay, you, the native people, you say what you want, and we'll give it to you.
No, I agree that there has to be some negotiating. That's why I'm saying the native people aren't isolated from the white people, you
mm-hmm.
see, because we are concerned, we are all Canadians, and the native people see that. But they talk about the native people being citizens, and white people are citizens. So So obviously they're not, well, not obviously, but at this point they're not going to be taking over all of the Yukon or all of Canada. They couldn't possibly. But the white people came into Canada and took over with no question of what the native people had to say. So maybe we'll just get it back again. It has to be organized.
It looks like self-determination is probably the key to the whole event, and the life and process will be in order to determine what self-determination means and to what extent you look like you carry. Does that make sense?
It goes beyond, like, why do we have to own property? You know, why do we own it? And why do we need money? Because we're afraid, you know, the rents are going to go up if we don't own our own property. And why should you look after somebody else's property? You know, if we had a whole different attitude towards living and living with people, we wouldn't be fighting. You know, we wouldn't have to fight to own a little piece of land. If you needed a piece of land, then you lived on it. And, you know, you go, you know, you hunt or you farm or whatever. We can't talk in terms like that. We have to be organized.
Just before we break, could I ask two things? One, is there anybody who has a question who doesn't want to pose it themselves? And if you do, if you could give it to me, I can, Fred, or I can pose it for you. And secondly, if you have any feedback about the way the forums are organized or the content or things, just whisper in my ear. You want longer group discussions?
I think so, yeah. We just got going.
Just because it was late.
And some heat.
And heat, yes. Have a couple more cookies still.